Councillors, please note that tonight's meeting, other than confidential sessions, have been recorded and will be placed on Council's website. All in attendance should refrain from making defamatory statements. Council takes all care when maintaining privacy. However, members of the public gallery and those addressing Council should be aware that you may be recorded. Good evening, Councillors. It's kicking off. We've got no leaves of absence. We've got, at this stage, we've got two apologies, Councillor Austin and Councillor McLean. Councillor McLean may come on, but she is damaged her foot and she's up in bed at the moment. She's got to get surgery done on her foot tomorrow. Can I get someone to move the apologies? Councillor Thane and Councillor Fowler. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Confirmation of minutes of the policy review meeting of the 13th of October 2025. We're going to move for that. Councillor Nuttall and Councillor Gary and Thane. For that, Council, all in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Have we got any pecuniary interests?
Yes, Mr Mayor.
We'll start down the table and work our way around.
Item two, I have a non-pecuniary, less than significant conflict of interest as I'm a council-appointed director on the Children's Services Board, and I'll leave the room.
That's okay. Moving around. Councillor Burse.
Declaring a non-pecuniary, not insignificant interest in PPNBA for the policy review, as I'm a director on PPNBA.
And you'll stay in or go out, leave the room?
I'm going to go out for that, yeah. I have a non-significant, non-pecuniary interest in the update on the Biennale, which is public,
I
also have a non-pecuniary significant interest in item one, the PVA, because I'm a director on the board.
As I said last time,
Mr. Mayor, ditto.
You got both?
Yes. Non-pecuniary significant interest, as I'm a director of the PVA, and that's for item one, and similarly for item two, as I'm a director of the Children's Services. I will leave the room and
non-pecuniary significant interest, a director of the Board of Children's Services Cooperative. I will leave the room.
Thank you. No other conflicts of interest. We'll kick off with the PB and VA. Those who have a conflict, if you would like to leave the room, we'll get you back in. We won't get you back in. But... Marcella.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. Very delighted to reintroduce Chrissy Scuds, the CEO of Penrith Performing and Visual Arts, to you this evening to present the annual report for 2024-25. You can see it's a fabulous news story, and there's been some amazing of the organisation this year, so we're looking forward to hearing from Chrissy about that, and obviously there'll be opportunity for questions. Chrissy.
Thank you.
I think that should be fine there, if you want to just speak into it.
Okay, I'll speak into that, and this will just... Yep, okay. Okay, thanks very much, Marcella. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we meet, the Darug and Gundagara people, and pay my respects to elders past and present, and to any First Nations people here today. Thank you for your time this evening, Mr. Mayor, Deputy Mayor, councillors and executive staff and guests in the room. This is our annual report for the 1st of July 2024 to the 30th of June 2025, but I'm mindful that in September I presented our annual financial result and a lot of artistic and operational achievements for the year. So tonight I'm going to focus on highlights while also looking ahead to 2026. We finalised a new strategic plan last December with the vision Penrith Performing and Visual Arts will be a driving force in the creative evolution of the Penrith region, where art connects communities, transforms lives and is critical in shaping our future. We have six core goals, each with a set of KPIs, and as noted in your report, we're well on track to achieving them, with 28 of the 39 KPIs having been exceeded or achieved in the half-year reporting period. Of the 11 remaining, 10 are in progress, and we're revisiting the timeframe needed to achieve the outstanding KPI, which is a First Nations programming framework. We understand the importance of building enough time for consultation and for the development of relationships to inform our Reconciliation Action Plan as part of this work. KPIs in the areas of revenue, sponsorship, financial sustainability, governance and HR have been achieved. While we were initially forecasting a modest deficit due to some unforeseen costs, our careful management and resourcefulness led to our closing the year with a $212,000 surplus. And this chart, which I shared last time, shows the unders and overs that led to that result. Now, given we were facing deficits in the region of $500,000 just 3 years ago, it's a remarkable turnaround for a small organisation with a full-time equivalent of just 27 people. We're creative, committed and hardworking. We grew our earned income by 26%. We grew our venue hire by 30%, which is 13% higher than the ambitious target we set ourselves. And we grew donations and sponsorship by 32%, which is also 13% over our budget target. Which leads me to note that our ACNC application is progressing. While we don't yet have a final outcome, we had a call from our lawyers last week to say that it's looking positive, pending some final details, and we hope to have that decision this week. I've included a con image here. The Con's Chamber Ensembles, which feature emerging musicians, do an annual private performance in the home of one of our donors, raising funds from audience members and building profile. Now, while government funding remains a challenge due to constraints on public funds at a state and federal and, I'm sure, local level, we continue to advocate for fairer funding for our region while generating revenue from other sources and diversifying our funding stack through strategic partnerships and opportunities. This image is from the opening of our summer suite, which includes the Megapixel exhibition, supported by Council's Magnetic Places Grant and the No Boundaries Art Group that meets regularly at Lures. This has been a year-long project, giving participants the chance to explore new digital skills. You can check it out when you come and see the pool show, which is on until the 15th of February, and it explores the idea that swimming pools are part of the Australian dream and a great leveller, but highlighting the fact that access to water is a loaded subject with just two pools for the Penrith population, not including Penrith Beach. The exhibition is in collaboration with the Art Gallery of New South Wales and includes works by David Hockney, Max Dupain and Tracy Moffat. This is Penrith Pool in 1965. We're also in the midst of two funding applications, both due in the next fortnight, and I'll leave you to read through the KPI reports that you have in your papers rather than reciting them verbatim for you. A few highlights to note. This is the latest evolution of the annual Youth Theatre Festival, which began over 30 years ago as Flano Fest, before becoming the RIF and now Nepean Nexus. This year, four Western Sydney high schools were paired with professional directors to create performances pushing the boundaries of theatre and technology, with 50 students performing to a 400-strong audience. We achieved over $2.2 million in gross box office at the Joan, with over half of that generated through ticket sales for community events. There's been a huge growth in performances from the Sri Lankan and Indian communities, driving 53% of our venue hire increase. This is a promo from a Tamil rap performance at the Joan in March. We supported 124 community events during the period with a total discount subsidy of over $243,000. Our education program grew substantially with over 22,000 lessons at the Joan and over 7,500 at the gallery. A couple of these slides are from this year's Studio Q showcase performance. Studio Q delivered almost 5,500 lessons last year. That includes our access ensembles for people with disability, the Agile Not Fragile Seniors dance group, and drama groups for young people aged from 5 to 18 years. Overall, across all of our programs, we reached 250,000 people. Our digital channels reach over 450,000 people annually. We have more than 23,000 social followers and 14,000 newsletter subscribers. Moving on to artistic achievements. In short, the gallery absolutely smashed all expectations with the summer blockbuster Spot the Difference, bringing in over 29,000 people and engaging new audiences and community like never before. This is artist Ocelan Tupai-Scanlon, Aussie, whose design work on T-shirts form part of the exhibition, with limited editions of his commissioned Spot the Difference design being sold through the gallery shop. Ozzy didn't really think that he belonged in a gallery and that it wasn't a place for him, saying, "I didn't think I would ever go to a gallery, let alone be included in an exhibition here at Penrith. This means a lot to me, my family and my community." Spot the Difference explored the myth of the Penrith Panther through the lens of Western Sydney artists, as well as its importance to the Penrith community and the local pride in the football club. And then we opened the halfway line, the mid-career survey exhibition by former Penrith local Black Douglas. I'll leave Toby to say a bit more about this one. This is Black Douglas with artist Carla Dickens, who was the subject of his Archibald-winning portrait, and curatorial advisor John Mundine giving an artist talk to a packed house in March. Joan programming has been completely reinvigorated. Our new producer started last August and hit the ground running. This is some audience feedback from a recent performance by Grammy Award winner Samara Joy. "We've been selling out music performances, most recently the Valleys, bringing in 500 people to the concert hall last Wednesday morning. Our programming process now includes the development of detailed proposals with the financial, artistic and audience risk analysis. This rigour is exactly what we set out to do in restructuring the organisation, and although the model is still maturing, we're seeing the results in real time now. In June, we had a sold-out performance of George Orwell's 1984 by Shake and Stir Theatre Company, whose return in 2026 is eagerly anticipated, with Grimm taking fairy tales to a darker place. We'll be partnering with Bell Shakespeare and Sport for Jove to present HSC forums and education performances. And we're also working with ATYP, the Australian Theatre for Young People, as the only Western Sydney venue to present the new work, Saplings. This show, written and directed by First Nations artists, was created through workshops with young people experiencing the youth justice system across Western Sydney and regional New South Wales. It has a rap and hip-hop soundtrack and won the Sydney Theatre Award for the Best Production for Young People last year. Other theatre highlights include a remount of The Gospel According to Paul for the Keating fans among us, and we're also excited to present the internationally renowned physical theatre company Circa with their production of Wolf in October. Now, I've already spoken to you a bit about the Sydney Comedy Festival, but just to recap on the numbers, this year we had 20 events bringing in over 5,000 people, which has a knock-on effect for the local economy. 70% of them were new audiences. And it was great to collaborate with council to make sure the festival was visible across the city. In 2026, the festival will expand across 4 weeks, with rolling announcements coming through now. You can look forward to seeing Sammy J, Stephen K. Amos, Dave Hughes and more to be announced. We're also expanding our contemporary music offer next year, with Ben Lee already selling well, and country music from Hayley Jensen, Graham Connors, Felicity Urquhart and Josh Cunningham. Operationally, we're now focusing on safety, human resources and assets, with expertise engaged in all three areas to ensure safety, compliance and areas for improvement and opportunity being recommended. In the past year, we also achieved constitutional reform, organisational change and board recruitment, with two new directors joining us at our final meeting for the year next Tuesday. Our partnerships included in 2025 and include the Department of Education. This is from a great day we had recently with the Premier's Spelling Bee Grand Finals, as well as Western Sydney Uni, the Art Gallery of New South Wales, Australian Chamber Orchestra, Australian Haydn Ensemble, Penrith Symphony Orchestra, Nepean Kappa Omega Ensemble, Accessible Arts New South Wales and Harbour Music Agency, just to name a selection. We engage and employ artists, 246 of them last year across all art forms and programs. 61% of the gallery program was made up of new commissions, and just a few weeks ago our Penrith Youth Orchestra performed the world premiere of our Young Composer Commission by Wesley Stormer. Q Theatre has taken two new commissions by local playwrights through to development, with both presented as staged readings at the Old Fitz in Woolloomooloo. The Joan presented 6 emerging musicians through its Sounds Fresh Live and Local program. Importantly, we continue to provide opportunities for the community to engage with arts, culture and creativity. Council's investment in PPNVA is multiplied in both social and economic impact. There are employment returns to artists and art workers, including technical and front of house staff. Many get their start in the industry working at our venues through the creative pathways we offer for artists. And there's also an overall economic impact as a result of our operations across fees paid to tutors, returns to outside hirers and revenue generated by the cafe. We estimate that across these areas, our operation generated $6.2 million on top of the $2.38 million invested by Council in 24-25, a total of $8.6 million. So for every dollar invested in PPNVA, we generate an additional $3.50 back to the community. For the past decade... My slides have stopped working. There we go. For the past decade, with the support of our sponsor, Celestino, we've provided subsidised tickets for students from low socioeconomic schools to attend our performances. Through this program, for the past 2 years alone, almost 400 children experienced live theatre, many for the very first time. What we believe in is offering access to the arts for everyone at every level and removing barriers to creative experiences. As I've said in my reports, behind every number is a story of transformation. A child experiencing the arts for the first time, an audience member connecting with music, a career-changing exhibition for an artist, a powerful connection of community and culture. I wanted to let you know while I'm up here that this will be my last presentation, as I've decided to wrap up my time at PPNVA at the end of the year. It's been an amazing 12 years and the last 3 as CEO, and I'm really happy to let you know that Toby Chapman, who's currently director of Lewis Penrith Regional Gallery, will take over as interim CEO for at least the first 3 months of next year. And Toby's here today. He's going to talk you through some highlights for 2026 at the gallery. But for now, I just want to say thank you so much for your time and your support over the years. And I'll hand over to Toby. You want to sit or stand?
Thank you, Chrissy, and thank you, Mr. Mayor, Deputy Mayor and Councillors. It's wonderful to have the opportunity to speak about the recent and the upcoming activities at Lewis Penrith Regional Gallery. It's a real privilege to share how the gallery is delivering not just artistically, but also in terms of civic value for our community and how our program is contributing directly to Council's cultural strategy and action plan. As I'm sure many of you know, the gallery plays a really unique role in our region. It's a place where local stories are honoured, national conversations are hosted, and global creative practice meets us right here on our doorstep. This past year, we've strengthened that role with a dynamic program of exhibitions, learning opportunities, and community engagement, including collaborations across several major council events. For me, one of the standout achievements of 2025 was the exhibition Black Douglas, The Halfway Line. The show received widespread critical acclaim, presenting an artist originally from Penrith who has gone on to achieve major accolades, including winning the Archibald Prize. We featured on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald, and we managed to just outdo ourselves in terms of attendance, garnering 34,000 people for the Black Douglas exhibition. This exhibition has since been recognised with a highly commended award at the 2025 Imagine Awards. And this success positions Penrith Regional Gallery not only as a leader in Western Sydney, but as a significant cultural institution in New South Wales. It also demonstrated for us a simple truth. When we present bold, relevant and ambitious art, our community shows up. Building on that momentum, we are preparing for one of the most significant moments in the gallery's history, our participation in the 2026 Biennale of Sydney, which represents the first time the Biennale will take place right here in Penrith. This achievement directly supports Council's ambition to position Penrith as a cultural destination that attracts visitors, stimulates local economy, and places our region firmly on the cultural map. Audience insight shows that residents deeply value having world-class art presented locally, affirming our shared commitment to access and inclusion. We are especially proud to share that our Biennale presentation will include senior Yinjin Barney artist Wendy Hubert from the Julawalu Art Centre in the Pilbara. Wendy is an acclaimed artist who is developing something special for us, an artist garden to be installed on the grounds of the gallery, the former site of Margot Lewis and her own pioneering garden. Through Wendy's work, millennia of Indigenous cultural and environmental knowledge will be brought into dialogue with our own Aboriginal elders and communities. We believe this project has the potential to create lasting cultural exchange between the Pilbara and Penrith and to model Council's commitment to cultural leadership at a national level. Another cornerstone of our upcoming program is a major survey exhibition of Darug local artist Leanne Tobin. Leanne's work speaks to country, to histories, and to the resilience of First Nations communities. Alongside the exhibition, the gallery is developing a series of school programs, artist talks, and cultural learning sessions on site. This ensures that the exhibition is not simply seen, but discussed, understood, and woven into the educational and civic life of our region. The early response from young people has been particularly powerful when talking about this exhibition, with schools reporting that the experience is sparking deeper conversations about culture and history. And finally, we're really proud to share that the gallery's forthcoming group exhibition for November 2026, Piece by Piece, has been awarded the Dobell Exhibition Grant for 2026. This is a significant achievement for our region and speaks to the strength of our curatorial vision and the artists involved. Piece by Piece has been directly inspired by the original owner of 86 River Road, Margot Lewis, and this is one of her beautiful mosaics we're looking at now. These works remain embedded in our site, continuing to enchant and inspire audiences. The exhibition will bring together a diverse range of artists and makers, supporting local creatives and generating opportunities for community expression to flourish. Across all our work, our guiding principle remains clear: to make art and culture accessible, relevant, and meaningful for everyone. Whether someone engages through exhibitions, our learning programs, community events, or simply by spending time in the garden, we want to ensure that every visitor feels that the gallery belongs to them. Looking ahead, our focus is to continue delivering workshops and programs that strengthen cultural identity, nurture creativity in young people, and elevate Penrith to the national stage. Through collaboration with council, community partners, and cultural organisations from across Australia, we are confident that the gallery will continue to be a source of pride for our city. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to any questions.
Thank you for that, and I will go around to the room. Any questions, comments, councillors? Councillor Noble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess comments from me is well done, and congratulations on your tenure as CEO for the PPNVA, and all the best for what the future holds. I just had one question about the funding opportunities, and the reason why I ask that is no doubt because the report talks about the 31% drop in grant funding, which is extremely unfortunate. What are the two, you talked about two funding opportunities or grant opportunities coming up. Are you just able to elaborate on that?
So these two, they opened last week. They closed on the 12th and the 15th of December. The first is Western Sydney Matched Partnerships funding opportunity. There's $2.15 million available for that. We will be putting up an application around probably building cultural capacity in the First Nations space and leading into some outcomes in terms of program. And there's also the opportunity for council to apply to that pool of funding. Right. As partner on our behalf, so we'll hopefully have two applications in for that. The other one is the Club Grants Infrastructure Funding, which is open at the moment and closes on the 15th. And we have a proposal in train around accessibility at the gallery for automatic doors for the main gallery, as well as potentially a refurbishment of aspects of the Sonia Farley 2 space to make it more available for community exhibition. So they're two at the moment. I think that drop in funding as well partly is you're seeing the tail end of the removal of the post-COVID rescue and restart funding in there too.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean like to still come back in a surplus is still incredibly important. It just goes to show the board and yourself are managing it very well. So thanks for your time. Thanks.
Any other comments, questions, councillors? Councillor John Thane.
I'd just like to echo what Councillor Noddle said, actually. Congratulations and thanks for your service. Doesn't feel like 12 years, to be honest. It certainly doesn't feel that long, but I just want to thank you for the way that it's progressed as well. I think, like, you know, Lewis and the Joan and the Q have just been, particularly over the last 8 or 9 years, just the programs and the exhibitions that have been on have been fantastic. And the Lewis is still a great place to sit and have a coffee, and particularly on the weekend, and just it's a very peaceful place. And it's great that there's an ever-changing exhibition in there as well. So thank you very much. Congratulations. I think it was a really great result. And best of luck for the future with whatever you do.
Thank you very much, Councillor Fain. Appreciate it.
Any other comments, questions? Just from me, again, to you, Chrissy and Toby, thank you so much for the last 12 months. And we, I guess, Council set some pretty big goal for you guys to meet only 2 years ago. And you've done that in spades, you know, turning around that deficit of, you know, $500,000 to a surplus of $200,000. It was a big challenge that I think we set you, and I think you've done well. Seeing that external hire going up, I think is fantastic. You know, having bands like the Whitlams and that playing there really brings that energy to Penrith, and it's what we deserve. It's what our community deserves, to actually have some of those top-rate bands playing out here, which is fantastic. But also to the gallery and some of those exhibitions you're bringing out there, to get Ben Ali out here, which is first time in Western Sydney, my understanding, is first time outside of really the CBD that's run. So for us to secure that's a massive coup for us to do that. So well done to you and your team on securing that for us. It is going to be a great exhibition for us next year. Like, truly, to have that massive turnaround in such a short period of time, it is. I know it was tough only 12 months ago and where everything was at, but I am glad to see finally we're starting to see the headwinds of those changes you made, and I know they were tough changes, whether it was changes of staff, redundancies, all the other things that went on with it. So well done to you and to the board, and that commitment to driving forward and making sure that there was a model for the Joan and also the gallery moving forward to look to the future. But to you, thank you so much. Thank you for your time and your commitment to that for the last 12 years. Without your leadership, I don't think we'd be in the same situation. So thank you and best of luck.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
For your future.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Look, total self-interest here, sorry, but a couple of years ago I saw Keating when, I think, was it in conjunction with the Wharf Review?
Keating was maybe about
4 or 5 years?
It was just before my time, so it was about 14 years, 13, 14 years ago, Keating, and then, but we had,
no, there was,
we
there
had
was,
the Wharf Review, and then we had Gospel According to Paul.
That was
the
it,
original
yeah.
one. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. The Second Coming is an updated version of that.
So my self-interest is, when's that on?
Should we put some time aside?
Read it.
All right, there's no other comments, questions. Thank you so much for that. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Over the next one.
Recommendations to deal with.
We can happy to move that. Councillor Fain. Thank you. So move Councillor Fain, seconded Councillor Nuttall. Put it to the council. All in favour?
Aye.
Declared that carried. I think you actually seconded it first in your face. Sorry, Fain. Moving on to the next item, over to you, Jade. If we're going to do the swap over those who have to go out, then the others who can come back in, we can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone's back in the room. Nasty back in. Yep.
Yep.
Over to you, Jade.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, Mr. Justice. Mayor, I'd like to invite Mr. Max Friend just to come up, the Chairman of the Board, to present the year in review for Children's Services for the 24-25 period. Max.
Oh, good, I can see. Mayor Carney, the councillors, and also guests. I'm here tonight for to give the report for the Children's Services, so away we go. Just to recap, the cooperative became effective from January 2003 and consists of representatives from parents, staff, councillors, and the community and senior council officers. On council's behalf, the board now manages 52 services encompassing long daycare, preschool and school age care services, mobile play van and allied health services including speech and occupational therapy. Approximately 4,000 children aged 0 to 12 years of age attend our early and middle childhood services. Approximately 579 children's services staff are employed in centre-based delivery including full-time, part-time and casual relief staff. So children's services is a large operation. Board meetings are held bi-monthly, which means that projects and tasks assigned by the board can be carried out by children's services management team. The board's 2022-26 strategic planning objectives were established in 2022 and have been updated year on year. Tonight, I will provide a broad overview of outcomes achieved from the strategic plan for the 2024-25 financial year period. The next two slides outline some of the significant achievements over the last 12 months. The 2024-25 period was a time of reflection and review and allowed board directors an opportunity to consider the long-term viability of children's services. A mid-term review session occurred in March 2025 with board directors reviewing several recommendations an issues paper that looked out at the current service footprint across the LGA and whether our services offering are appropriate in a growing council. Eight recommendations were endorsed by the board, which we will support the long-term viability of children's services into the future. The 2024-25 also saw the continued growth in allied health services with the employment of a second speech therapist and an average of 4 to 5 client-based sessions per day. Children's Services was also able to grow its funding opportunities by securing $9.8 million in state and federal government grants, which is 13.9% increase on the 23-24 financial period. Children's Services is proud of its ongoing partnership with Ripples Leisure Centre, which has been a further 70 school-aged children per week completing a Learn to Swim program. 2024-25 was a big year for the awards celebrations for our staff with 9 awards presented, which included the Leader and Educator of the Year presentations. 6 of our services achieved an exceed rating, which sets up apart from other service providers in the industry as outlined in the overall quality rating picture on this slide. Children's Services also rolled out Council's capability framework to all staff to support self-awareness and engagement amongst teams. The Board is committed to ensuring that our facilities are upgraded to enable the provision of safe and aesthetically pleasing environments for children, families, staff and visitors. To this end, there were 2 playground and 2 building upgrades during this financial period. Children's Service completed playground upgrades at Kindana and Werrington County's Children's Centres. For building upgrades, Kindana Children's Centre and the Emu Plains Kids Place were completed. In total, over $1.862 million was invested in buildings, playground and maintenance improvements. In addition to the funds set aside by the cooperative centres for upgrades, Children's Services is fortunate to have access to Council's Asset Renewals Funds and Council's maintenance team, which is also assisting in upgrading and maintaining our ageing assets. The next slide identifies the initiatives at the centre level that add significant value. A new parenting group and supported playground was launched at Jacaranda Cottage, Emu Plains Correctional Centre, in partnership, and Emu Plains Correctional Centre, in partnership with the Gateway Family Services. 13 incarcerated mothers participated in the Circle of Security program with strong engagement and positive feedback from both participants and the correction staff. Our community partnerships through CAPS has continued to grow with parenting programs with Mission Australia, play groups with Sydney West and drumbeats in local schools within the Pean community and neighbourhood services all occurring in the last financial year. The focus of our funding initiatives in the best financial year was on the wage retention program for staff. This initiative provides a retention payment to staff over a two-year period of up to 10% salary increase in the first year, followed by an increase of up to 5% increase in the second year. The first wage retention payment was received in August this year, with staff backdated to December 2024. These monthly payments will be paid as an allowance to staff up to the November 2026. We advocated strongly and were successful in securing $107,900 from the state government for its financial period for professional development for our staff. This funding supported mandatory training such as first aid, CPR and recommended training, including curriculum development and conference attendance. The Children and Parenting Program was extended through to 2026, which continues to support vulnerable children and families through evidence-based parenting and child-based programs in our local community. I'm pleased to be able to report that for the 2024-25 financial year, we achieved a favourable financial outcome of $307,663 for the services managed by the cooperative after the council subsidy. This surplus result is after a contribution from council of $200,000, as well as transfers from cooperative services to a number of operational reserves. These reserves include provision for the previously mentioned playground and building upgrades, bus replacement, centre equipment, advertising and marketing. This small surplus is an excellent result for the services managed by the co-op in the current economic climate and provides some necessary equity to better position the services for coming years. The operating revenue was $41.2 million after council contribution of $200,000, as well as transfers to several operational reserves of $665,000. The operating expense was $40.9 million, resulting in a surplus position of $307,763. You can see from this slide that the parent fees and childcare subsidies make up a huge percentage of income, which equates to 75%. This is why utilisation of services is a key contributing factor to viability and affordability. A major opportunity in the years ahead is the Start Strong funding commitment for preschool age children by the state government. This initiative will have a huge impact on the business strategy going forward with greater investment in the preschool services. Staffing costs made up 89% total of the income, which is slightly higher than previous years due to Children's Services' commitment to supporting children with additional needs. Inclusion development funded positions contributed to just 3% of the 89% spend on staffing costs, which equated to just over $800,000 to the staffing budget. Working expenses include everything else for the operation of the services: utilities, food and drink, equipment, curriculum expenditure, office supplies, etc. I must say that the operating expenditure on our staffing is worth every cent. Our staff are the best. They are committed and dedicated and hardworking. Without them, we wouldn't have the quality service we do. The board has made funds available so that all of our educators have backfill development and second in charge and staff in the services. The board is very committed to ensuring that our staff have support and resources they need to continue to do a great job. Children's Services has continued to maintain strong partnerships with external bodies and providers to add value and to ensure our centres remain contemporary and of high quality. Some of those partnerships are outlined in this slide. I couldn't let the opportunity go by without commenting on the internal relationship with Council's Leisure Centre. Children's Services has partnered with Ripples Leisure Centre to expand Council's approved provider that states under the National Disability Scheme and also to build and learn to swim program for preschool and out-of-school age children. In a predominantly female workforce at any one time, we have 31 staff on parental leave. We greatly support our staff to manage and balance their work and family and other part-time positions when they can. From a parent perspective, we know that continuity and consistency of staff teams is important, and we try to balance assisting staff with career development opportunities whilst maintaining stable staff teams. We have had some great successes with 20 Certificate 3 trainees commencing in the 2024-25 financial year, which is still three more than the previous year. This creates a great loyalty base for the future. We also currently support 27 staff with the Children's Services Council Educational Assistance Program to undertake qualifications. Five staff have also reached their 30-year milestone with Council, which is a great achievement and demonstrates the loyalty and staff have for their Children's Services. As already mentioned in the presentation in your AGM report, Children's Services still contributed to 89% of total income in the 24-25 financial year. The inclusion support service employee costs was a key contributor to the staffing increase at a cost of $1.6 million. Children's Services is currently looking closely at its IDF funding oppositions and is reviewing strategies to best support high needs children in a financially sustainable way. Changes to government regulation also has an impact on our compliance requirements, particularly relating to video and photo images of children, with tighter regulations around use of images. Supervision, headcounts, sleep checks and visitors signing in and out. The importance of meeting changing regulations, compliance and quality standards and achieving good ratings cannot be overstated if we are to remain in this business. The federal government has also announced a pay rise for frontline staff, with the first being backdated payments rolled out in August this year. The wage retention rollout will require continued careful planning to ensure staff are paid the correct allowance each month during times of seasonal fluctuations in utilisation levels. Ageing assets is also an ongoing challenge, with several buildings experiencing structural movements and requiring extensive maintenance. To ensure our long-term viability, an asset strategy is required to manage these buildings into the future. We live in a climate of change. Going forward, we need to ensure that we have ongoing dialogue and communication, that we are all on the same page and working towards the best outcomes for our children and our community. The board will continue to implement key outcomes from the strategic plan for the 2022-26 period and will meet next year to discuss the strategic plan for the Children's Services. The internal management team, going along with the board of directors, achieved a lot of great outcomes from the third year of the 2022-26 strategic plan and believe that the next 12 months will continue to drive the business in a positive way with the recommendations in the midterm review to be rolled out. The board will also continue to lobby the government to further support changes in children's subsidy, as well as support the continued rollout of the wage retention payments for all frontline early educators. These are just some of the known changes and challenges I am sure there will be others as the next financial year rolls out. In closing, I would like to acknowledge Council for the continued direct subsidy of the Board's operations and its sponsorship of children's services generally for this community. Thank you to you, my fellow co-directors, for your commitment to children's services. Thank you to the chairpersons of the Centre's advisory committees who provide support at the grassroots level. Thank you to Stephen and to Jade and the internal management team and the staff at the centres for the commitment and dedication to the children's services. Thank you.
Thank you, Max. Over to councillors. Councillor Nuttall.
Thank you for your presentation. I think one thing you did miss that ought to be applauded is the branding initiatives. And obviously you're wearing the blue right now, so you're on brand.
I was going to wear a pink one, but I didn't have it.
But also the website too has gone live, and looking at that looks really, really good. So hats off to you there. The Allied Health rapid expansion is very, very positive. And I was reading that you're moving into behavioural science and music therapy in the future, and that just shows sort of the proactiveness of you guys, and that should be commended. I think the other thing that I just wanted to raise is each childcare service are either meeting or exceeding the applicable standards, which I think if you put that into comparison of private sector childcare centres across Penrith, you're probably doing way better than what they're doing, and so that should be commended. No doubt, like you said, you've got challenges around ageing assets, employee costs going up. Good to see the grants are going up about 9%, but no doubt they won't be there always. And so trying to manage that into your sort of day-to-day budget and overall budget will be challenging. But overall, like, hats off, well done, and really, really appreciate your hard work. Thanks.
Thank you.
Councillor Gary,
thanks, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, just to echo those comments, don't want to say too much what's already been said, or I don't want to repeat too many of my comments from last year either. Sound like a broken record. But once again, Max, and congratulations on another successful year. It's clear to see that you are there's an excellent quality of service, excellent amount of care and dedication that's put in by the staff. Also want to echo the comments around the rebranding, particularly the uniforms and the website. Really well done all around. Congratulations on another successful year.
Any other comments, questions, councillors? Just from me, I'm glad to see the branding's done. It's been 12 months since I've been off the board, and we started it back then. But it is fantastic. I think it looks great. And I know talking to some of the staff, they're really positive about it. They're really happy to see that change, and I think it's a good thing for our service and a big future ahead. And I think seeing the numbers, if that 14% increase in grants at the moment, I think that's fantastic. Being able to access the funds to uplift how much we're paying our staff is great. I know that was a struggle to start with because I don't think councils were first included in the first stage of that. So it's fantastic that we're able to uplift the pays of our staff because they are fantastic. And being probably some of the highest paid childcare workers around, which is a good thing, means that we hold our staff, our fantastic, incredible staff that we have out there. And I have the honour of being able to go to many centres over the year and going in and seeing what they're doing. And it's, the smiling faces, the kids that are enjoying the time there, and absolutely fantastic staff who just love the jobs they do, and they're just so dedicated to Penrith. So thank you, Max, and the board, and for the fantastic work you always do, mate, and have for a long, long time for us, mate. So well done, and congratulations to you all, to the board and everyone. So please pass on that to the board on behalf of the council.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you all. All right, councillors, that's it for the policy review. We'll have... It's in this room, and I'm just... we have two recommendations there. I've got to move for the recommendations. Councillor Gary and Thane, Councillor Rhys Nuttall. For the council, all in favour? Against? Declare that carried.
Councillors, we'll have a 5-minute break as we get set up for the briefing. And we can bring everyone else back in for now.